I've chosen as a scripture lesson the book of 1 Corinthians, and there at the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. And now verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. It's 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, and 28 through 31. We know that there's a lot said and a lot done as far as the charismatic movement in the churches. And, of course, the references to the Greek word charisma that's translated gift several times in the New Testament. It's used especially as the so-called spiritual gifts like healing and tongues and so on. I was a little bit surprised. One of my associates down at Edgefield talked about going to Aiken for a prophecy conference, and I said, well, good, or did you study Daniel and Revelation? Oh, no, these were all modern prophets. And I thought, you know, kind of raised a question mark above my head. In other words, they thought they had the spiritual gift of prophecy, and it would have been interesting to hear some of the things they said. But anyway, it is a modern movement in which people claim they have the spiritual gifts. But the many studies that I have read concerning what the Bible says about the subject, few have been any real help. And probably the exception would be Bullinger's Giver and Gifts, which I found to be very helpful. But none of them were any real help in determining the nature of the gifts, the purpose of the gifts, and the duration of the spiritual gifts. But to me, one of the things that has been helpful to me is to get into this problem area of confusing the source of the gifts with the gifts. In other words, a lot of people think, well, they should receive the Holy Spirit. And so in other words, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. But the trouble is there, they're confusing the source with the gifts themselves. And to me, this would be very helpful in understanding this. And there's one thing that Bullinger in his books did bring out. Even though he was a Trinitarian at the time that he wrote the book, he said plainly that the Holy Spirit is never called a person in the Scripture. And he didn't want to confuse people by bringing in theological terms that were not in the Bible. So anyway, the Holy Spirit, or the power of God, is the source of the spiritual gifts. And so as a result, that there, we know that the gifts themselves are various. We were reading there in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And but some, as I say, some people do think that the Holy Spirit, the source, was what was given. But really, it's a contradiction. In other words, as I may have touched on it briefly last week, if I were giving a gift, you'd say, well, this is the gift of Terry. But it's not me that's being given. It's a gift that's being given. And so in this, there is a rule, a scriptural rule. When the giver or the source is meant, the construction includes the definite article, the. In Greek, that is the word to or to. So we have given this here as the giver or source, to pneuma, to hagion, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the, in parentheses, is an ellipsis that is supplied as to this is the giver or the source. And then when it comes to the gifts, we find out that they do not contain the definite article, the, so it is just pneuma hagion, or Spirit Holy. And I, to me, that is very helpful when you can say, well, here is the giver or the source, and here is the gift. And the Greek scriptures differentiate between the two by including the definite article or not including the definite article. The problem, of course, there is that the King James Version and most other English versions do not show when the definite article occurs in the Greek. So where makes us go back to the Greek scriptures, like in the emphatic diaglot. And so when you take your diaglot and look at it, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it'll tell whether or not the definite article is there or not. And so therefore you can determine whether it's speaking of the giver or the source or the gifts. So this is a rule that we apply. Well, you say, well, if this is a rule, let's apply the rule. And one of my favorites on this is Luke, the 11th chapter and the 13th verse. And it reads, it goes up here, is talking about, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. If a son shall ask any one of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks an egg, will he give him a scorpion? These all seem foolish to us. But he said, if ye then, being carnal or evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Well, so happens that the definite article does not occur with Holy Spirit here. And so we know that it's talking about the spiritual gifts. So what I have done, I've told you that all the way through my Bible, the New Testament, when the definite article is not there, I just circle the word the, so that I know when I'm reading it that it's not talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but it's talking about the gift, new nature or some other, but it's not talking about the source or the giver. So the emphasis here, then, is on carnal parents that know how to give good gifts to their children, and the Heavenly Father that gives spiritual gifts to His children. And so the Holy Spirit of God is the giver, and it's not given. But the spiritual gifts are given. Another one would be Acts, the first and second chapters, because here we have the beginning of the early church. We have the promise of immersion in Holy Spirit. And we know that the immersion in pneuma hagion, as we talked to you the other Sunday, of the apostles on the day of Pentecost, that permitted them to speak in other tongues. But there's no definite article here. He said, ye shall receive power after that pneuma hagion has come upon you. John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with pneuma hagion not many days hence. And so the second chapter and the fourth verse, here I've gone through these verses and I've circled the definite article, the, when it does not occur. And so the second chapter, fourth verse, they were all filled with pneumahagion, no definite article, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, here, the Spirit is to pneuma to hagion, the giver or the source, as it gave them utterance. So you see, this really opens it up and to me makes it very plain that where the gift was indicated, there was no definite article. Also, another place that it helps me is Acts 2:38, when the hearers of Peter on the day of Pentecost realized that they had crucified their Messiah, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Acts 2:38 is a well-known verse. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, in this instance, the definite article occurs. So it's saying, you shall receive the gift from, or the source, the tu pneuma tu hagion, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So it is not the Holy Spirit that is given, but it's a gift coming from the source, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. We're not here told what the gift is, but all other areas in the New Testament talk about the gift, the ultimate gift of God, as being eternal life. So then he goes on in the 39th verse to say, "The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So in other words, he's not saying that that everyone who is baptized is going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's saying that everyone who is baptized will receive the gift of eternal life, which is the ultimate gift of God. So it is not tu pneuma tu hagion that is given here, but rather this is the source. And over and over again, this same rule goes on. The 19th chapter, book of Acts, is an interesting text in which there were 12 men in Ephesus that Paul was approaching and talking to. And he said in the second verse, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard where there be any Holy Ghost." Well, now, if they're believers, they surely have heard about the Holy Spirit of God, because that's what he used to create, that's how he created man, that's how he's performed all of his miracles. But the thing of it is, there's no definite article here. So what he's saying to them, "Have you received the spiritual gifts since you believed?" And they said, "Well, we haven't even heard that there are any spiritual gifts." Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? In other words, instead of them saying, "We have not even heard whether there is a Holy Ghost or a Holy Spirit of God," they're saying, "We haven't heard about the gifts." So then he said unto what then were you baptized? And they said, "We were baptized unto John's baptism by John the Baptist." And he said, "John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And then he laid his hands on them, and they were able to speak in tongues and prophesy. So here again, the subject is the gift, pneuma hagion. And that rule that we have found seems to be playing out here in the different texts that could be problem texts if we did not have this help. Now let's turn to the nature of the gifts. And this is 1 Corinthians 12. The thing that we find in this text is that there were different gifts given by the Spirit. There were different serviceable labor, but it was the same Lord. Different effects produced, but the same God which worketh. And all were for the total profit of the church. And there are 9 gifts listed here in verses 8 through 10. For to one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another, faith, by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing, by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. The he here, as a pronoun, is referring to God, because when you get over in the 28th verse, God has set some in the church, gave apostles, prophets, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. So these were some of the different gifts that were given. They were all charisma. In other words, that's what that word means, is gifts. And they were spiritual gifts from the one source, the Spirit of God. The thing that, to me, is a little bit sad and also ironic, that the gift that is last and least, that of tongues, is the one most cherished and associated with the charismatic movement. People don't seem to want to prophesy. They don't want to seem to want to be able to discern spirits, to look at a person and tell them what kind of person they are. Jesus could do this, just like he talked to the woman at the well, and he said, well, go call your husband. He said, well, I have no husband. He said, I know that. You've had five, and the man you have now is not your own husband. And she said, sir, I see you're a prophet. There are not many people who want to be prophets. I have often said that when I go to the hospital and all, if God were to ask me what kind of spiritual gift I want, I'd say I'd probably want to heal, because there's so much suffering. But at the same time, the more profitable gift may be prophecy, or actually revealing the Word of God. But anyway, people are saying they want tongues. But he says over here in the 31st verse of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, covet earnestly the best gifts. In other words, tongues is not the best, it's the least. So covet the best. Do something that is really beneficial to mankind. And he said, yet show unto you a more excellent way. There's something better than spiritual gifts, he said, and I'm going to show these to you. As I said, most people seem to want this gift of tongues, but so I want to touch on it just briefly. But it's plain that the present day ecstatic speaking, or glossolalia as it's called, is not the same as the spiritual gift of tongues. In other words, I have heard people, and they just—it's just gibberish. It's no language. And then they have, so they say, "Well, God says we're not supposed to say this without having an interpreter." And said, so they have an interpreter that said, "He said, praise God." Well, I mean, he went through this bunch of gibberish. That wasn't saying praise God. The thing that we notice in the scriptures that when on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles were immersed in pneumahagion or spiritual gifts, that they spoke in other languages and dialects. The word languages is the word glossa, and the word dialects is dialecticos. So, but the people that were assembled there heard their own language and dialect spoken, were amazed that these Galileans could speak their language, and they understood what was said. That was the purpose of it, because there were, if you read in Acts 2, there were over 16 different languages and dialects mentioned as being present in that crowd. Well, these apostles were Galileans. They didn't know all these languages. So through this gift, pneumahagion, they were enabled to speak in other languages and dialects. I have read after modern linguists, people who are students of language, and they say that modern-day glossolalia cannot be classed as language. It's not language. Now, if I want to tell you one thing, I had 3.5 years of Spanish, forgot most of it. It's been so long ago. But if I suddenly began to speak fluent Russian or Chinese or Polish or German, you know it was a gift because I don't know those languages. And so it was on the day of Pentecost. These Jewish Galileans began to speak in all these different languages and dialects. So it was a definite gift. The thing that I point out to people, according to 1 Corinthians 14, there is no such thing as an unknown tongue in the Bible. If you turn to that and you see, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. And look, the word unknown is in italics every place. What that is saying, it's been added by the translator. So what it's saying, he that speaketh in a language speaketh not unto man. Verse 4, he that speaketh in a language edifieth himself, for that is a foreign language. So down about 13, 2 as unknown, 14 as unknown. But they're all in italics. 19 as unknown in italics. So they were not unknown languages. They were known languages. But the people just didn't know the language, so to them it sounded like an unknown tongue. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. That's in other words, he's already telling us. This is the 8th verse of 1 Corinthians 13. Prophecies, they shall fail or be discontinued. Whether they be tongues, they will cease or be discontinued. Whether it be extra knowledge, it shall vanish away. So the purpose and the duration of the spiritual gifts is important to us. The purpose of the gifts really has a bearing on the duration of the gifts. And a very wonderful text in this respect is the book of Mark, 16th chapter, and there at the 20th verse. It says, after the Lord had spoken these things, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they, the disciples of Jesus, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. They confirmed the word with signs following. In other words, the purpose of the spiritual gifts was to confirm the word of God with the signs that would follow. In fact, we find that confirming the word of God was the purpose of the signs, including the tongues, which accompanied the preaching of the apostles. That was the purpose of these gifts, was to confirm the word. And that text that I've used before and want you to remember is Hebrews 2, 3, and 4, that this is one of the great purposes of all these gifts and signs was to confirm the word. Paul said here in the second verse, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. This is talking about the law given under Moses. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, that is by Jesus, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? That was one thing that God said that he would do for the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, when he gave them these spiritual gifts. It would they could recall everything that Jesus said and did. Our minds are, and our memories are fallible and short, but this gift brought to their minds everything that Jesus taught. And so he said, if the sins that were committed under the Mosaic law were all taken care of and paid for, how we can't even dare neglect the really great positive salvation that has been revealed to us by Jesus and confirmed to us by those who heard him. We have not heard Jesus. We depend on those who heard him to tell us what he said. But God bore them, the apostles' witness, with signs, wonders, diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Signs, wonders, miracles, gifts that confirmed this word that they spoke. So that's the purpose. So it is a matter of history that the Word of God was inspired, recorded, and confirmed during the lifetime of the apostles. It was all done during the lifetime of the apostles. So it's not a surprise that there is no historical evidence that the spiritual gift succeeded the death of the last apostle. When the last apostle died, the spiritual gifts also were discontinued. So, in the light of their purpose, Paul predicted the discontinuance of the gifts and pointed to the more excellent way, which was love. In fact, we feel, and then going on and reading in the New Testament, that the gifts were beginning to fade away during the life of the early church, because Paul, in 2 Timothy 4:20, said that he had left Trophimus at Miletus sick. Oh, if he had the gift to heal him, why did he leave him there sick? That gift was fading. And in 1 Timothy 5, he prescribed a little wine for Timothy's weak stomach and other ailments. If he had the gift of healing, why couldn't he have healed him? So the gifts were already fading away because their purpose had been fulfilled, and there was no longer need for the spiritual gifts. So, in conclusion, I find that there is no scriptural basis for the modern day charismatic movement, unless we consider it a sign of the times as being among the latter-day deceptions. God's purpose for the spiritual gifts was long ago fulfilled, and they ceased because the Word of God has been confirmed. The thing I want you to realize, as I realize, that we don't believe them when charismatics try to tell us that they have something that we don't have. I've heard this more than once from a Church of God pulpit, when some of them have gone into this charismatic business and said, God has all these wonderful gifts for you, and all you have to do is ask for them, and you're poor because you don't ask for them. Baloney. They're not out there. So, as I said, don't believe that. In my estimation, today the greatest miracle is the changed life from one in the world to one in Christ, from serving self to serving God. And to me, the greatest gift is love. which is greater than any gift in this world that we could ever have. Thank you for your time. To be continued.